Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to 3 Yards Per Carry, a podcast covering the Miami Dolphins and the NFL. Now, here's your hosts, Chris, Alf, and Simon.
And we're on. And welcome to another edition of 3 Yards Per Carry. These are our draft shows. So we're talking running backs in this one. And I have Simon Clancy here with me. Chris Kaufman will be on probably to talk another position later on. Probably. Yeah. What was it he was saying on the OnlyFans thing? Like, I find offensive linemen absolutely impossible to evaluate. I don't know what your thoughts are on the position, but man, I could go draft for draft, and not to go like ancient history. Let's just go since 2018, since that should be like the makeup of the team. Man, there's so many busts from guys that I remember were good college players. It's a tough position to evaluate, right?
Yeah, it's hard. It is. I do agree. I generally agree. Although there are clearly teams that do it very well. The Green Bay Packers, yes, we talked about a lot on this program. On this podcast, that Green Bay do it consistently well. And you look historically that they've had huge success at every position.
Even the Eagles, who are really good at it.
Yeah, Eagles are great, you know.
But Dillard is not that good. Like, he's not a good player.
No, and Green Bay took a tackle a few years ago whose name I'll find as we go through this. Green Bay draft picks history. They took a left tackle who sort of flamed out 8 or 9 years ago in the first round, whose name I will find in a second. Derek Sherrod in 2011. They took out of Mississippi State. Year after, they took Brian Bulaga, who played right tackle, obviously. They took Sherrod just before they took Randall Cobb in the second round. And Sherrod absolutely flamed out, just didn't, you know. But then you go through it, and we've been through it before, you know, certainly on OnlyFans, but we've talked about it. You kind of look at, you know, the Marshall Newhouses and Bulagas that we talked about. And, you know, obviously they whiffed on Sherrod, but you go back and you look at other names. I'm just going through it. JC Tretter, obviously, Bakhtiari, who they got in the fourth round. Tretter, who they took in the fourth round, you know, two all-pro offensive linemen. Corey Lindsey, who they took in the fifth round. You know, they've had great success at doing that. And that's just not something that the Dolphins have really been able to nail down with any success. And actually, you know, I look at, and I always talk about that kind of Elgton Jenkins, another one. I always talk about, you know, John Runyon, who's played really well for them. They took Josh Myers in the second round. Royce Newman's played well. I talk about just draft good college football players. And, you know, to me, Liam Eikenberg was a good college football player who I thought could have played tackle. I thought probably could have played left tackle, almost certainly could have played right tackle, definitely would have been a really good guard. And he hasn't been any of those things.
No.
And, you know, I was ecstatic when the Dolphins traded up to get him, because I just thought, look, there's an absolutely secure, this is a guy who's a 3-year starter, absolute meat and potatoes guard probably, but could be a tackle, a pinch in the NFL. He's going to smash you in the mouth game after game. He's, you know, he just gave up one sack in 3 years, and he's been absolute piss. So, you know, I do think there is a, you know, and you look at some of the great tackles in the league, you know, David Bakhtiari was a fourth round pick. You know, our own Teron Armstead was a fourth round pick as well. You know, that I just don't know that you can, clearly some teams have got the magic elixir when it comes to finding out what works. But the Dolphins sure as shit ain't one of those teams. So, you know, I think Rob Hunt being the kind of the exception to the rule, really, you know, and actually a small school kid who we kind of passed over 3 or 4 running backs to take, he's actually been a really solid player. And I think he's developing now into, you know, and I understand the Dolphins' reticence to want to move on from him in terms of moving him outside to tackle, where I think he could, where I think he could hold up. But I think they think that he's a potential sort of Pro Bowl slash pushing towards all pro right guard. And, you know, he's certainly trending in that direction. He's getting better and better each year, but it's, we've had a rough ride of it, I think, as Dolphin fans in terms of offensive line selection. And you look at a team like Green Bay and you just think, what, you know, how is it? What are you doing? You know, that you look back at that year when Jenkins, not last year, the year before, tore his Achilles and Bakhtiari was out of the ACL, and you just think that there are just, you know, they're just rolling out linemen, keeping Rodgers fresh and, you know, able to run the ball as well. And, you know, we're looking at Jerron Christian and Lester Cotton and, you know, Kendall Lamb and, you know, guys like this. I mean, we're starting playoff games with the guy, Lester Cotton, who literally we found at Walmart in Fort Lauderdale on a Thursday, and he's playing on the Saturday night. It's just like, you know.
In the playoffs.
You know, he's playing next to Terrell Armstead, who should have gone on injured reserve in week one with a foot injury. So, you know, we were pretty hamstrung. I mean, look, home run with Connor Williams, I think, was brilliant last season. I thought he was just a really good player. And let's please sign him to an extension as quickly as possible. And McDaniel talked yesterday about, look, we've got some ideas for the line. And I genuinely believe that our ideas for the line start with getting Austin Jackson healthy and playing him at right tackle. I genuinely believe that's what they want to do. I think that's why they didn't go into the market in terms of free agency. They like a couple of those younger guys. They like Kendall Lamb. I think they quite like Jerron Christian. Look, Brandon Schell didn't do a bad job. I just feel like you can do better than Brandon Schell. I think as a guy who comes rotationally off the bench, he certainly didn't embarrass himself through the season. I thought he held up pretty well given, you know, where he started from. And if you're bringing Brandon Schell off the bench or, you know, behind a guy that you can trust, then I don't have a problem with that at all. But I just think going into the season where your best option is Brandon Schell, I just don't think that that's... You've got to look at the health of the quarterback, you know, and people will say, oh, well, you can get injured on any player. You can, you absolutely can. But things are slightly different with Tua. He's not been healthy since his freshman year at Alabama, okay? Ankle surgeries, thumb, all sorts of things, the concussions, the ribs, the, you know, the hip, the broken nose, the, all these different things, right? You've got to keep him healthy because you know how dangerous he can be when he is healthy. You know how brilliant he can be when he is healthy, when he's kept upright. You've just got to do that. And like, I know the fast pace of the offense and getting the ball out of his hand quickly is to navigate some of those issues on the offensive line. But if Terrell Armstead, who hasn't completed a season healthy in God, maybe once in his career, if he goes down in week one or week three or week five, the Dolphins are absolutely screwed. You can have as many Jalen Ramseys and Christian Wilkins and Tyreek Hills as you possibly can. But you look at the Philadelphia Eagles and you look what they did, and they have continued to draft in target areas. You know, they signed Jordan Mailata and developed him into one of the top three or four left tackles in the league. Mm-hmm. But they had a Hall of Fame center in Jason Kelce. And then they drafted Landon Dickerson, who was the best center in college football. They moved him into left guard. And he's an absolute home run as a left guard.
And they're paying Lane Johnson a one-year $33 million contract.
And he's worth it. He's a walk-in Hall of Famer.
Well, I don't know if any offensive lineman is worth $33 million, but if there was one, he's one. He's the one.
Well, but the thing is, they got to the Super Bowl. You know, as good as Jalen Hurts was, as good as those receivers are, they got to the Super Bowl by the strength of those offensive lines, right? Of the offensive and defensive lines. And you look at, like, last year they drafted Cam Jurgens, a center we all liked out of Nebraska. Cam Jurgens is going to start in place of Samoli, who went to Carolina or wherever he went as a free agent, the right guard, or Chicago maybe. He's going to start. He's the guy they drafted who's now going to start. So their offensive line will now be Jordan Mailata, Lane Johnson, Jason Kelce, Cam Jurgens, Lane Johnson. And you know full well that Kelsey's back for one more year, right? Then he retires, and either Jurgens goes to center or Johnson goes to center, and they'll sure as damn it draft a really good offensive lineman, a guard this year or a center who will go in and play guard when Kelce moves on and one of those other two guys, you know, moves positions. You only have to look at defensive line. They didn't need to draft Jordan Davis in the first round last year, but they did because they knew that Hargrave was a free agent. They knew that Fletcher Cox was a free agent. You know, this is just what good teams do. And you just got to build around the lines. And the Dolphins have definitely done it on the defensive line. But year after year, the problems with the offensive line are just, you know, horrendous.
Yeah, there's one way to take pressure off the offensive line, and that's a great running back. And to take pressure off the quarterback, more importantly, is to have a good running game. It was very interesting this week when Mike McDaniel was confronted with these facts on the offensive line. And he said, yes, you know, I don't think that we had any problems on the offensive. I mean, on our running game, it was just that I didn't call enough runs. Well, Mike, you know, call more runs, buddy.
Yeah. Especially for a guy that was a run, you know, run game coordinator, a guy that was brought up in that, you know, in the Shanahan system. And I don't mean Kyle, I mean the you know, Mike with, you know, Alandis Gary and Terrell Davis and all those great backs that they had in Denver. You know, that's where he, you know, that's where he plied his trade. He plied his trade with, you know, Arian Foster, Carlos Hyde, with Alfred Morris. You know, he's been around great running backs, you know, really good running backs, guys that have, you know, not been drafted high, but have been continually, you know, whether that's Matt Breida or Mostert in San Francisco, and to be fair to Mostert, played very well in Miami last year, Jeff Wilson. But Mike McDaniel's history has been the running game and running backs across all his different stops, whether that's Houston, whether that's Washington, whether that was Miami, whether that's San Francisco, wherever is Cleveland. That's what he's known for, you know, and so that's a surprise. What I think they lack is a short down running back, short yardage running back. Yes. I think we'll get that in this segment.
Yeah, yeah, their third and one problems last year were notorious. A lot of it was play calling, okay, because you're gouging the Buffalo Bills on a Saturday night. It's cold, it's blustery, it's windy. It's third and one. Your running back is averaging seven. Yeah. He's averaging 7 yards a carry, and you throw it on third and one. You know, when at that moment in that game, man, a touchdown drive pretty much ices it, you know?
So, I mean, when we went up in that snow game and we got the ball back when Phillips forced the fumble, Wilkins recovers the ball and we're up by six and we have the ball at midfield. That's where you needed the horse to you know, don't shy away from the pass game. I hate it when teams do that. You know, please be aggressive. But in the critical moments where you need to punch somebody in the mouth, that starts up front. You know, you've got to run people over in the run game because that's how you – not only do you pick up the first down, not only are you wearing defenses out, but you're buying yourself another 2 or 3 minutes.
Yes.
You know what I mean? In terms of you've got three attempts to get another first down, maybe kick a field goal or whatever, or they're going to have to start using their timeout. So that favors to your advantage anyway. So, yeah, I just think – you know, I McDaniel's a smart guy. You know, he's a really smart guy, and he will learn from some of the – not mistakes, but some of the little, you know – the things that he just needs to do a little bit better. And, I know he will do. I know he'll come back and this team will be better offensively. There'll be more wrinkles. And I don't think he'll just try and outthink himself. You know, I just, like, we've got a football manager, a soccer manager in this country, manages Manchester City. He's Pep Guardiola. He's hugely successful. He was a brilliant player for Barcelona, for Spain. He's been an incredible manager over here for Manchester City, as multiple Premier League champions. But whenever he plays in a massive game, a big European semi-final or a European Cup final, he's outthought himself tactically. He's just tried to do things where he's just tried to be a little bit too, like, why are you doing this, Pep? Just stick to the fundamentals that have got you here, that have got your team. Your team is amazing. You know, they're probably the best team in Europe over the last 5 or 6 years, but they just haven't won the big European tournament because Guardiola's outthought himself. And I kind of felt like McDaniel was just trying to outsmart himself sometimes. And when actually, you know, you don't need to do some razzle-dazzle, multiple pretend fake handoffs in the backfield to try and throw to Durham Smythe, who's coming from the left side to the right side to get blown up by. Just run the ball, just smash somebody in the face. That's the thing. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I remember watching that game. They're up by five, and I'm thinking the defense is going to have to make a play here because, you know, Josh Allen's an alien, okay? That guy's not normal. All right. Cool.
We love that guy. You know, I know he plays for the Bills, but, you know, you've got talent. We love that guy. He's a great player, but we can stop him. We can slow that team down. We can beat that team, and we can beat that team in Buffalo. You know, we almost had them twice. We had them on the ropes twice in the snow and in the playoffs, you know, and there's just a few little, you know, a few little tweaks of experience that will come this year with McDaniel's more experience, with Fangio, with the kind of the, you know, hopefully with Tua healthy, the talent that's on this team. This team is built to win a Super Bowl now. If they can just, you know, that's what fucks me about about losing the first round pick. You know, that if that first round pick had just been, you were just able to spend that wisely. You know, you get a Paris Johnson, for example, out of Ohio State, your long-term left tackle, you play him at right tackle. You know, that's a day one starter. And you just think that's the sort of guy that when we were picking at 21 or 22, wherever it's going to be, you know, maybe Michael Mayer falls to there, or you get Kincaid, or, you know, there's just that's the frustration, man. And to realistically have, you know, two draft picks, because, you know, you get anything out of, if they make the team, it's a bonus, you know, your sixth and seventh round draft pick. So, you know, I've said it before, they've got to hit with two really solid contributors out of this second and third round pick, because if they turn into Tindall and Ezukama, who just do nothing all year, that doesn't help the team at all. They've got to find a couple of players, and And to me, I think running back is one of those positions that you can just throw. It's the easiest position to play. That you can just throw. It's a difficult scheme. It's the easiest position to play. We can just throw a guy in and just say, dude, just follow the blocks, hit the holes, run to daylight. And, you know, you're not trying to teach a cornerback to play corner in this system who's not going to play anyway because of the players we've got. Hard to teach an offensive lineman, especially when we're picking to convert. There aren't really going to be any right tackle, pure right tackles. Daywon Jones will probably be gone. Right, the kid from Tennessee will definitely be gone. So then you're asking a Jalen Duncan or a Matt Bergeron, who are really left tackles, to move to the right side, which is never easy to do anyway. Look at how difficult it was for Penei Sewell in Detroit. So you just feel like, look, running back is one of those positions that you can absolutely make a home run early round hit where somebody's going to contribute. Yeah. You know, I know we've got four backs and we'll talk about those four in a sec, but you know, that to me is, you know, there's some late round guys I know they like as well. And there's a flip side to my argument, which is actually, if you nail those first two picks and then you come back and take like Evan Hull, who I know they really like out of Northwestern in the seventh round or the sixth round, and he contributes heavily, well, then, you know, you three out of your four picks are really working. But there are some really good backs in this draft and some really good backs who will be in the Dolphins, you know, range in that second, third round area that I'm keen to get into.
Yeah, and we're going to get into it, and we've given plenty of lead up here, but one last question I'd like to ask you before we get into these running backs. I've advocated, look, I've looked at this draft class, and there's so much to like. I want more picks, and I don't mind trading that 51st pick for a couple of top 100 picks. Do you agree with me, or
yeah,
51
I mean,
is just too important?
Look, it depends. I think they make a decision on the board when they're on the board. And look, we always get to that situation. We've talked, you know, a lot about both on here and on 2 on 3 YPC. We've talked about could guys be available at 51. And you know what tends to happen? We think, oh, he's never going to be there. He's never going to be there. And then just guys that we don't expect to end up in the first round, kind of, you know, end up in the first round. You know, guys that fall out a little bit. You know, I look at something like Cam Smith of South Carolina. Yeah, Cam Smith. Bit undersized, you know, the corners generally that are a bit undersized. Isaiah Foskey, Keely Ringo, Quentin Johnson seems to be falling a little bit. You know, Michael Mayer seems to be falling a little bit. What's the shoulder situation with Nolan Smith? Jalen Hyatt seems to be tumbling a little bit. Trenton Simpson, people are not so sure about. You know, Josh Downs, where's he going? What about BJ Ojulari? Is that a guy you want to rely on? You know, and you suddenly, you know, Kalijah Kansi can fill so many holes, but where does he really fit, you know? Adam Awore, who was brilliant at the combine, but you know, is he a Mike Mamula? You know, what's going to happen? Where do these linebackers fit? Keon White of Georgia. So you all of a sudden see guys that you keep seeing projected in round one, all of a sudden thinking, oh, actually they're beginning to tumble a bit on mocks, or the, you know, you hear the conversation out of pro days, and you know, you'll end up with a load of guys that you kind of look on, you know, you look at a Hendon Hooker or a Steve Avila or a Antonio Johnson or a Tucker Kraft or a Sidney Brown, guys that are Julius Brents. I've seen, you know, I've heard people talk about Julius Brents going in the first round. You know, there are guys out there that, and it's not Joe Tippmann, the center from Wisconsin. There are guys out there that it's not an incredibly deep draft, but I think there are going to be teams who draft for specific need, and you might see guys that the consensus in inverted commas, that they go in the second, third round, and actually, you know, the league holds them in much higher stock, you know. And I think there are guys that we probably like, Christopher Smith and people like that, who might just fall a little bit, maybe into the third day, Henry Toa, players like that. So I think it's going to be really interesting, and I think there'll be some kind of mismatched names that we see in that sort of 25 to 40 area, which might just push some guys down in Miami's direction, where you kind of think, oh, actually, and you get on the board and you maybe got three or four guys and you think, actually, you'll shuffle down four or five picks, we're still going to get one of the guys we like, and we'll pick up another top 120 picks. Who wouldn't do that when you've only got four selections?
Yeah, absolutely. All right, we're going to go to break, and I think we gave you enough of a preamble, enough of a lead up into these running backs, where we did half of the show talking about the lead up to this draft and these running backs. But first, these words. Do you have a water leak and can't find where it's coming from? Are you dealing with water or mold damage in your home or business? Then call Water Cleanup of Florida at 954-579-0356 for immediate assistance. With over 60 years of combined experience, Michael, Robert, and their team is prepared to handle all types of leak detection issues, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. After the leak has been located and repaired, Water Cleanup of Florida will then clean, dry, and fully restore the damaged areas. Water Cleanup of Florida is fully licensed, insured, and certified to provide the one-stop shopping that busy homeowners and business owners require. There is no need to bring in other contractors. They will handle the entire project from start to finish. Service areas include Miami, Broward, and Palm Beach counties. Call Michael anytime on his personal cell phone at 954-579-0356. That's 954-579-0356. Or visit their website at WCUFL.com. Water Cleanup of Florida. If you have the schmutz, they have the guts.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Jalen Phillips, and you're listening to 3 Yards Per Carry.
All right, we're back. Let's start here, Simon. On OnlyFans, for $3 a month, by the way, you can get a lot of draft talk. And actually, right now, this is like a real time when we're recording this, like around noon on a Tuesday. Chris Kaufman is holding court, explaining to everybody how he knows everything about offensive tackles and offensive guards.
He's ever in Dante Scarnaccia.
Yes. Who knew we had that guy on our own forum, right?
You know, I've known him for like 25 years, and this is the first day I've known that he knows anything about the offensive line, but unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah. But let's start here. I had a long discussion the other day. I love Bijan Robinson.
Yeah.
Is he the best? And look, I looked this up because I looked by Next Gen Stats, by the way. I actually understand what they're doing, and it's actually kind of genius. All they're doing is rating the prospects by how people mock them and their measurables, 40 time, you know, how they lift, their vertical, all that stuff. And they just try to create a score. And Bijan Robinson is the best running back prospect since Saquon Barkley. In your opinion, I put him in the same class as Adrian Peterson. As I think Ricky Williams was next level athlete, next level prospect. Like that's, you know, that was one of those where you look at him and you're like, yeah, I could see taking a running back in the top three. Bijan Robinson, I got him with Adrian Peterson, Saquon Barkley. You tend to agree? Like this is a special, special prospect.
Yeah, I think he's a brilliant player. I would have Adrian Peterson and Ricky Williams at a slightly higher level. But look, I think his talent level is what many NFL offenses build around because he brings so much value to the table. He's got great size. He breaks tackles at a rate I've never seen in college football. I think 104 broken tackles last season, which is a record in college football since records were taken.
To give you an idea, Raheem Mostert led the team with 16.
Yeah, there you go.
Last year.
If I think there's a knock on him, I suppose it's pure speed. Long speed isn't necessarily his game. But look, he stops and starts on a dime. His cutting ability and his ability in the open field are just like outstanding. There's a game against Ohio State where he just makes defenders look just silly on his way to a touchdown. He's so elusive. As a sophomore, he had the third most broken tackles in FBS history with 79. I mean, it's just... like, he's just insane. He's powerful. He can run between the tackles. He can run outside. I think last year he averaged 4.71 yards after contact, 5.7 yards per carry. You know, he can lower his shoulder. He can run into a linebacker. He can run around a linebacker. You could line him up at wide receiver if you wanted to. He's just capable of things that other human beings haven't been capable of out of this position in a very long time. I think he's the equal of Saquon. He's a highlight reel receiving threat. You know, you can split him out as a receiver. You can run him in the slot. He will run routes out the backfield. He runs the full route tree. He's very natural catching the ball. You know, to say can't miss prospect is a difficult one when you're evaluating players in the draft. But to me, he is as can't miss as they come in terms of his talent level. He's probably the third or fourth pound for pound most talented player in the draft. He won't go that high, obviously, because the running back position is devalued, but he's an electric player.
Yeah, there's a touchdown run of his against Oklahoma where It's only an 8-yard touchdown run. And in those 8 yards, he manages to make a guy miss in the hole, runs a linebacker over, and then stiff arms the defensive back at the goal line to score. And I'm thinking, this guy does, in 8 yards did more than most running backs do in 2 or 3 games. So, yeah, he's a special prospect. And I think we can agree he's best in class.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
Okay. So I think we can move on because he will not be a Miami Dolphin unless something very, very weird happens on draft day. Okay. But we do fear him going to like Buffalo or who knows, maybe even the Buffalo, Jets think Bryce Hall and Bijan Robinson is a problem, you know?
Buffalo would be a problem.
Yeah.
I mean, get him out of the AFC.
Yeah. Yeah. Getting the hell away from us. Okay. And not having to defend him will be a good thing. I'll tell you one guy who looked great in Aqua and Orange, and there's always a possibility. It happens every year. We talked about this. Some guy that we think is a first-round pick, I happen to think he will be a first-round pick, by the way. He has that Rashad Penny feel to me. Not that they're similar players, because they're not. But I remember we did this show, and I said at that time, Rashad Penny has that feel where somebody's going to reach up and take him in the first round no matter what. I think Jahmyr Gibbs is that guy this year. I think he's going to be a first-round pick. But there's always that possibility that he drops. And if he drops, he could be in reach of the Miami Dolphins. And, man, this is – I'm not going to say he's Christian McCaffrey, but the skill set is there. Like, this guy could really unlock our offense.
Yeah, I think he's a great player. I don't think he goes in the first round, actually. He reminds me, actually, of Aaron Jones in a way. And I think I worry about his size a little bit. I was told that he plays in the high 180s, low 190s. Ooh. So I wonder whether or not his ideal role is almost like a timeshare, similar really to what we saw from him at times at Alabama, where he actually took a majority of the passing game reps. I mean, I think he's the best receiver in the draft because, you know, what does he have? 103 passes and 8 touchdowns last couple of seasons. So only dropped 2 passes in his entire career. There are obvious similarities to Alvin Kamara. I think he's lighter and not as physical as Kamara was coming out. But he's so slippery in the open field. He's got such electric hips. He's just a gliding runner. The contact balance is outstanding. He sets up his blocks beautifully. He's got great vision. I just think he's just he's a dynamic player. I love him, and I think he could be there at 51, and I think the Dolphins will I think Mike McDaniel will absolutely love him. He is similar in style, I think, to Raheem Mostert. He's got that jitterbug style that Ahmed and Gaskin have in terms of skill set. I'm not saying they're anything like, but the skill set, what that would mean is that Jeff Wilson is really the outlier then amongst that group. I don't think one of Ahmed or Gaskin, and I suspect it will be Gaskin, doesn't make the team if they draft a back. There are other backs in this draft that I wonder might be better fits from a chemistry perspective, overall chemistry of the running back room. But in terms of pure fits, it's hard to, you know, he's a lightning rod player who would just, he's got the speed, he's got everything that you want in an outside zone running back for a Mike McDaniel team. He is an electric player, and he's just so much fun to watch.
Yeah, and I hope that these narratives don't hold this year, because I love this running back class. You know what people say, you know, Chris Greer doesn't care about running backs and will not take a running back. I think if Mike McDaniel pounds the table enough for one of these prospects, I think it happens, because Chris Greer is an accommodating type, especially for his head coach. There's that picture where you see Zach Charbonnet running a 40-yard dash time and the Dolphins scout is facing the other way.
Yeah.
It could be that he's looking at the field monitor, maybe. I hope.
It's a good point, though, that you make about running backs. And because McDaniel is, like, whilst I said at the top of the show that he comes from a school of running back, you know, in terms of that's what he's been brought up at, the mentality. You go through it, there are not a lot of high draft picks. I've got it, you know, 2005, Mike Anderson was his back, 6th rounder. 2006, Ron Dane. Now, Ron Dane was a first rounder, but this was his third team. And his backup was Sam Congardo, who was an undrafted free agent. 2007, Dane again, undrafted free agent Darius Walker. 2008, Ahman Green, third round pick on his third team, undrafted free agent Cecil Sapp. 2011, fourth rounder Roy Helu, sixth rounder Evan Royster. 2012, 2013, sixth rounder Alfred Morris. 2014, undrafted free agent Isaiah Crowell, undrafted free agent Sean Drone, and third rounder Terrence West. 2015, third rounder Tevin Coleman, fourth rounder Devontae Freeman. 2016, those two again, plus undrafted free agent Teron Ward. 2017, he had second rounder Carlos Hyde, who was drafted before he arrived, and undrafted free agent Matt Breida. 2018, sixth rounder Alfred Morris and undrafted free agent Jeff Wilson. 2019, Breida, Coleman, Wilson, and undrafted free agent Raheem Mostert. And in 2020, he had Coleman, Wilson, and added Jerick McKinnon in the third round and undrafted free agent Austin Walter. And then in 2021, he had Wilson, undrafted free agent Jermichael Hasty, and sixth rounder Elijah Mitchell. They also drafted Trey Sermon in the third round, but he was so bad that he only lasted a year. So McDaniel's history makes you feel like he's not going to spend a high pick on a running back, or indeed spend any high draft capital on runners, because consistently he's been around teams who've been able to find value in the later rounds, which obviously brings into play some guys that we've talked about, you know, ignoring the Robinsons, the Charbonnets, the Gibbses, the A-Chains. You know, then you're looking at guys like Chase Brown and Rashawn Johnson and Juice Vaughn and Keaton Mitchell and, you know, Evan Hull and players like that. So it'll be very interesting to, you know, there's a kid the Dolphins like very much at Youngstown State, Jaleel McLaughlin. You know, there are guys of that ilk. So it'll be really interesting to see how they call it. But like Charbonnet, I've been on the absolute Charbonnet wagon for, you know, three seasons. I mean, yeah, he's only the fourth guy ever to start as a true freshman at Michigan. Just he's got the best vision in the draft. Best vision, absolutely. You know, he can run inside, can run outside. He's got low 4.5 speed, high 4.4, low 4.5s. He's a tight quarters running back. He's just, to me, he's got the most translatable skill set apart from Bijan Robinson in this entire class. He's great as a runner. He's got great hands. He's terrific in pass protection. And critically for Miami, he's the best short yardage back in the draft. You know, he converted 78.4% of his carries with 3 yards or less to go over the last two seasons, and the fourth most conversions in college football over that span with 69. He's 220 pounds, 215 pounds. He'll make you miss. Like I said, great hands. Will smash you in the mouth in short yardage. He'll bounce off tackles. He's also got the best contact balance in this draft as well. I am a massive Zach Charbonnet fan. He is eats, sleeps, drinks football, and has done since he was a kid. He broke a kid's back in high school. He broke three vertebrae in his back when he just ran him over. You know, he will take on runners. He will run through runners. He will run over guys. I love him. Absolutely love him.
Yeah, he's slippery. And when you watch him play, he's always falling forward. And like you said, when you say contact balance, that is so key to be a good short yardage runner. I think I could see a scenario, not to say that I'm going to guarantee that they take him, but I could see a scenario where they take him and he starts week one. I could see that scenario, you know, where I won't see it with other guys who I think will be complimentary backs if they do take him. Let's talk about two guys here, and then we'll try to finish this up with some sleepers. Devin Achane and Taji Spears. Let's take these two by themselves. What are people missing? Because if you look at most mocks, these guys are making it to late day twos on most mocks. Nobody's mocking them really anywhere near the first round or even the top of the second round, but the measurables are there and the tape is absolutely there, especially with Taji Spears. Devin Achane also looks great, a little smaller. Your thoughts on those two guys?
I'm a massive fan of Achane. I think he's a terrific player. I think he's that weight because he wanted to run track at Texas A&M. I think the reason that they're both viewed as slightly lesser backs is some injury history. I think Spears had knee injuries, tore his ACL in high school, tore his ACL at Tulane. Achane's had some niggly kind of like fast muscle twitch injuries, like specific sort of track related. You know, this guy's run a 10-14 100 meters. I mean, that would put him in the Olympic 100 meter semifinal. You know, he's a guy, he can return kicks, you can throw to him. He's got amazing hips and footwork in the hole, you know, getting to the second level, he will break your ankles when you come to tackle him. I think he's tough. He doesn't shy away from contact. He's broken 104 tackles on 369 career rushing attempts and averages 4 yards per carry after contact. He's got, you know, you can throw to him. He's got worse hands than Gibbs. I think he's 5 drops in 65 targets over the last two seasons. I think he's a great player. I think he's a really interesting player. Spears, I'm not quite as high on. I suppose Chris, I know, really likes him. I think he's a good player. He's certainly a player that's trending up. I think things have to be a little bit more. I think he's less creative, perhaps. He's great at the second level. I thought he was terrific at the Senior Bowl. I just think that he is not that everything. That's a bit unfair on him, to be fair. I just prefer other backs in this class. I think that's probably the best way to say it. He'll go on to be, I'm sure. I thought he was terrific for Tulane. And he makes people miss. He's so shifty. I think he does a great job of setting up defenders. He's a leverage back, which I really like about him. And he understands how to set up a defender with using leverage, but also his offensive line in terms of leverage. He's a fast twitch, mentally decision maker. Do you know what I mean? He makes his mind up and he goes. And that's what I like. That's what I like about him. I just think, to me, there are other backs in the draft I like more. But he's a really good player. And I thought he did an amazing job for Tulane. And he absolutely, carried them this season with a great year that they had.
Now, Israel Abanikanda, that's a guy that you could check out on 2 on 3YPC. We did, 15 minutes
Speed.
On him. So I don't think we're going to do 15 minutes here. But he's absolutely a fit for this system. I'm gonna bring up one sleeper who I think hurt himself at the combine, at least for Miami. I think they want speed, and it's gonna be a consideration. I absolutely love his tape, Roshan Johnson of Texas. That's Bijan Robinson's backup, by the way. Yeah. He got terrible athleticism scores. Man, I don't know what we were expecting. When a man is 225 pounds and he runs a 4.58, I don't know. In my opinion, that's fast.
Yeah.
I mean,
you watch him. He always he has this weird knack of sort of taking away his plant leg just before contact. And then defenders are just like grabbing fresh air. He has the second highest broken tackle rate over the past 2 years behind his own teammate. 85 broken tackles, 189 attempts. Just a really good player. If he wasn't backing up, Bijan, he would have had a significantly better career. I think he's a really good player. This draft is full of great running backs,
Dolphins, you do agree with me, right? He's hurt his stock with Miami
a little bit. And I think there are backs in this draft who lack the explosion, the ordinary explosion. Then go back and look at Alfred Morris, look at Jeff Wilson. These are not explosive running back. Carlos Hyde. These are, Olandis Gary. These are not the kind of explosive. You have to go back and dig into the Shanahan running back tree to realize that actually there's a lot more to it than just, this incredible speed to be able to get to the perimeter. Zach Evans, the Ole Miss running back, talked about how in his meeting with the Dolphins at the combine, they sat down and played him film of Leonard Fournette and said, can you run the ball like this? That's not archetypal.
Yeah.
What you'd imagine archetypal Mike McDaniel offensive football is like. But then look at Jeff Wilson when he carried the ball for the 49ers. Look at Jeff Wilson when he carried the ball for the Dolphins. That's not archetypal 4.3 speed. That is run inside the tackles, smash you in the mouth. So I think that's why it brings into consideration. And lots of people are talking about, the Sean Tuckers and the Chase Browns and these guys. But I absolutely think the Roshan Thomases, but, the Zach Evans, the Tank Bigsby. Tank Bigsby is a brilliant player. He's a really, really under the radar running back for me. This is one foot in the ground. This guy reminds me of Terrell Davis. He's not as good as Terrell Davis, people. That's not what I'm saying. But his ability to put one foot in the ground and fire it down to the second and third level is better than anybody. Incredible lateral burst out of his cuts. Incredible burst generally. I mean, this guy's been single-handedly carrying Auburn's offense since he was a true freshman. He is a jump cut, one cut and go, boom into the second level, down the field, long speed to get touchdown. If the Dolphins drafted Tank Bigsby, I'd be absolutely thrilled. And then look, there are guys like Kendre Miller. We haven't talked about Sean Tucker, Kenny McIntosh at Georgia, Eric Gray at Oklahoma. Like these guys, there's some Juice Vaughn. The Dolphins interviewed Juice Vaughn. I mean, he's like 4'2", but he's absolutely electric. You even go down to like Mo Ibrahim at Minnesota. He's held together by tape, but the guy just picks up, he picks up first downs, picks up touchdowns. He's so consistent. Chris Rodriguez at Kentucky reminds you a little bit of Tyler Algier, will just run you over, smash you in the mouth. I talked about Evan Hull at Northwestern. Dolphins really like him, low to the ground, kind of sort of bowling ball-y kind of character, just a really good player. There, McLaughlin, the kid out of Youngstown State. There is a lot of players in this draft that the Dolphins could absolutely pick up and never go near either that first, that second or that third round pick. But to me, there are just some, you know, Gibbs, Charbonnet, Achane, Bigsby, Abanikanda. These are guys who are absolutely in that second and third round wheelhouse of the Dolphins.
And yeah, I think
make an impact.
Yeah, Bigsby, when you were talking about Bigsby, about as far as being a good one-cut runner, man, that is such a key thing to have in this system. Because most of the time, man, when they're running outside zone, they're going to press on the tackle and they're either going inside or outside, and you got to be decisive. And that's something that Raheem Mostert was really good at doing last year. You're either going outside, you're going inside, but you got to be decisive. You can't dance behind the tackle, because when you dance behind the tackle, it's when the middle linebacker hits you for a 1 yard gain.
Like, if they want speed to add to that offense, then it's Abanikanda and it's Achane, you know. That's if you're looking to run somebody over, then it's Charbonnet. If you're looking for a Terrell Davis, going back to the original Mike Shanahan back, that's 1 foot in the ground, that's cut and drive and go down the field, that's Bigsby. Yeah, if you're looking for a guy who can rotate in and out of Mostert and Wilson and Ahmed, who can be an absolute threat, that you can line up in the slot out wide, catch balls out the backfield, be Tua's best friend in terms of catching the ball out the backfield, then that's going to be Jahmyr Gibbs. You know, so there are so many different options that this team has that they could utilize in terms of the running game. I'm fascinated to see whether they do that on the second day, or whether they think, you know what, we can get a Chase Brown, we can get an Evan Hull, we can get a Jaleel McLaughlin, one of these guys we can bring in, and, you know, who can be our Elijah Mitchell kind of thing that they got in the sixth round with the 49ers and can turn into a 1,000-yard running back. So don't forget, Raheem Mostert's 31. He's on a one-year contract. Jeff Wilson is 2 years. Did Jeff come back for 2 years?
Yes,
I think he did. Gaskin and Ahmed 1 year each, and so I think it'll be a battle, you know, between the undrafted free agent and one. I doubt Gaskin makes the team, and I think the undrafted free agent will battle with Ahmed, and we'll see where we go. But like I said, you know, most are age. Wilson, you know, they could have let go, signed a 2 year deal, but, you know, and the other two guys, 1 year deals, and a kind of depth players, special teams guys. And I don't think the Dolphins are wedded to either of them. So there's certainly room to play for. There's roster spaces to play for in that running back room for the right guys. And I think, you know, if anything, Mike McDaniel has a history of finding the right guys. And I suspect that's what will happen this year.
Now, somebody's listening to us right now and is thinking to himself, okay, why aren't they talking about, you know, the pedigree guys, a guy from Georgia, because every time I hear about a running back come out of Georgia, he has to be good, right? So why aren't these guys talking about Kenny McIntosh? I'll go first and I'll say he's the least inspiring Georgia running back I can remember. Your thoughts on Kenny McIntosh? He always seems to underwhelm me every time I watch him play. And his run in the playoffs this past year wasn't particularly impressive either. Your thoughts of Kenny McIntosh as a prospect? He has to be the lowest rated of the Georgia running backs that were headliners in college coming out, right?
Yeah, I think he's got a lot of traits that I like, that I think the Dolphins will like. He's patient. He's got good contact balance. Look, he ran a 4.62 at the combine, so he's not fast. He's got stop and start ability. Try and say that after a couple of drinks. Like I said, he's patient. He can break a tackle. I think his value is most of all is, and where I think the Dolphins will see real value, is third downs. You know, he possesses a lot of outstanding third down traits. I think he had 43 catches last year, a varied and technical release route tree from the backfield. He's got formation flexibility as a receiver. I think he's excellent in pass protection, and I think he can break tackles in space. You know, you'll see him all across the field making catches. I've seen him make catches in the deep third, you know, running in breaking routes like a receiver. So, you know, I don't think the Dolphins would be afraid to throw to him down the field because he's not Herschel Walker. And, you know, I think he runs a little bit high, but I like his patience. He is decisive when he does decide to go. The thing that will worry teams is that the patience could come back to haunt him because he has 4.62 speed and that explosiveness to, you know, if he holds up, it's that Le'Veon Bell patience, but Le'Veon had the explosion. Kenny sort of lacks that a little bit, but I think he's you know, this is a guy I think that could make an impact, certainly on third downs, and maybe be the kind of guy that Chris Evans should have been or should be in Cincinnati, the kid out of Michigan. I think, you know, McIntosh can run some routes, can catch some balls. You'll bring him on the field to protect the quarterback on third down. And, you know, I think he'll make a team.
All right, we're going to take two more prospects, and then we're going to finish up here. Two more prospects to talk in depth about. And these two guys have been tied to the Dolphins. I believe they spoke to one of them, and the other has been mocked to them in the second round. Dwayne McBride out of UAB and Sean Tucker, who they did speak to. I believe, I don't know if they spoke to him at the Combine or...
Yeah, I think they interviewed him at the Combine.
Yeah. Yeah, it was at the Combine where they interviewed him, I believe. Yes. Let me see. Or was it... No, he's a junior, so it wasn't at the Senior Bowl. So, yeah, it was at the Combine where they spoke to him. So, let's take those two guys, and then I think we could finish up after that. We'll play a little game on the way out. Dwayne McBride, Sean Tucker.
Yeah, Tucker, look, you know, explosive lower half, incredible burst. I think that the thing that worries me about Sean Tucker is that, you know, there's that the sort of size speed combination is outstanding, but I just don't think he has a lot to write home about after that. I think he's very linear. I don't think he's creative unless the hole is there. He's not improvisational. When the hole is jammed up, he's not a guy that possesses outstanding backside vision. He can certainly handle the workload, you know, 500 plus touches over the last two seasons. Good out of the backfield, 10 drops, 73 catches, you know, which is not great. But in terms of, you know, he is a good angle route runner. He's a good slant runner. Doesn't have a particularly refined route tree. Are you going to feature him outside of screens out of the backfield? I don't really think so. And to me, with an offensive line as bad as the Dolphins, I don't think you're wanting a guy that can, you know, can only run to daylight, which sounds ridiculous. But, you know, we're looking at players like Aaron Donald and Chris Jones. And, you know, even this year, you look at Kalijah Kansi and guys that can just eat up holes, of, you know, in the offensive line and can shut, you know, A gaps and B gaps and C gaps very, very quickly. And if you can't create, then you're going to be in trouble. And I think Tucker just really struggles, I think, to create a little bit too much. And that concerns me. McBride is an interesting guy. Contact balance, short area speed, I like of his. He'll run guys over. He's a fighter. He's just a tough guy. He can take it to the house. Back-to-back seasons of, I think he's got 3,000 yards rushing over the last two seasons, 13-71 at 6.7 yards per carry in 2021, 17-13 at 7.4 yards per carry last year. Now, you have to look at the quality of opposition that he's going up against. He also has some fumble issues. He has some significant fumble issues. I think he has 10. I might have got this number wrong. I'm pretty sure over the last two seasons, he has 10 fumbles over the last 2 years, which is a big issue. He's also got some return chops about him. I think, to me, there are other guys that I would rather select. You know, if you're going to look at a guy, is Bigsby going to fall into the, you know, into the, to day four? Day four? What? I've invented another day of the draft. Is Bigsby going to, you know, Kendre Miller, for example, you know, a guy we haven't talked about. You know, somebody like, we talked about Roshon Johnson earlier on. I just have to weigh up whether or not the caliber of opposition that he's been up against versus, you know, what he brings to the table versus a propensity to put the ball on the carpet would worry me. I just think there are better players out there.
All right. And on the way out, we're going to play this little game. It's one of my favorite draft games. In fact, we're going to play that game on OnlyFans and do some giveaways. You gotta find a Miami Dolphin here, Simon.
Yeah.
I'll give you five chances to find a Miami Dolphin. Or you could just punt on it altogether and say they will not take a running back in this draft, which will be a huge disappointment to me because I love this running back class. I love this tight end class. But I like this running back class a little bit more. Give me five guys who could be Miami Dolphins.
So I know full well that McDaniel will look at Jahmyr Gibbs and think how sexy he is. He'll look at A-Chain and think what he could do with a guy like that. If I was going to give you five guys, I'd go Gibbs, Charbonnet, A-Chain, Jaleel McLaughlin, and Deuce Vaughn. Okay. But it wouldn't surprise me if they took Tank Bigsby over all of them. So there you go. I just think he'll look at those, you know, those absolute Ferraris Gibbs, A-Chain, and think, you know, God, I could add that to Waddle and to Hill and the speed on offense and whatever, you know. But then he'll look at, think, you know what, can I, a guy who can get me a first down in Buffalo in the snow in December, that's Zach Charbonnet, who can also stay in that, you know, when I bring him onto the field, the defensive coordinator is going to know that, you know, he's going out on a route because he can't pass protect. So therefore I know what's going to happen. So I know that I can bring an extra rusher because there's nobody else to protect Tua, right?
Yes.
Charbonnet, you don't have that with Charbonnet because you don't know what he's going to do. He can stay in the backfield and pass protect. And then he'll look at Bigsby and think, fuck me, that's, you know, this guy's a bit of a clone of the kids that, you know, my mentor used to draft, you know, the Yolandis Garys and the, you know, and these guys and the Terrell Davises. This is a one foot go, played at a high level in the SEC, carried a team, which he has done at Auburn. You know, this is a guy that can do that. And then, you know, he'll look at those little young kind of like Vaughn, 4'2", whatever he is, but absolutely explosive, like just destroys tacklers, you know, stop, go, joystick control, get down the field, you know, electric, ball in his hands. And think, you know, what could I do with this kid on third down? This kid could bring us something a little bit different, a little bit special. You can't cover him. You can't see him behind the line of scrimmage. And then someone like McLaughlin, who, again, would fit that sort of third down, good hands, speed, picked up a ton of yards at Youngstown State, some explosion, some lower leg explosion that, you know, you kind of can't coach, and think, well, maybe there might be something here that we could just throw him in on third down, and boom, there he goes 80 yards later. We've got a touchdown. So, yeah, I just... there's some guys that I know McDaniel's going to love. So it'll be interesting to see what they do.
Yeah. And there has been a slight shift in as far as their thinking, as far as running backs from the Shanahan tree. Of course, the godfather, Kyle Shanahan himself, you know, just spent draft picks and money on Christian McCaffrey. LaFleur has Aaron Jones, who they're paying a lot of money to. And
he also has AJ Dillon, who's 258 pounds, you know. Yeah. That is not a Shanahan tree running back, or at least,
yeah, and they used wasn't he a second round pick, AJ Dillon?
Yeah, he was a second round pick. Yeah,
so yeah. And then if you go back, their ultimate success, I understand that Kyle Shanahan made a Super Bowl, you know, with the 49ers, but you know, their ultimate success, I think, altogether was in Atlanta, where they had a really, really good team. They had a 28-3 lead too.
Yeah,
in the Super Bowl, which I can't fathom blowing a 28-3 lead in the Super Bowl. But that team was powered, yes, by an MVP quarterback. But those two running backs had combined over 2,000 yards from scrimmage. Devonta Freeman, Tevin Coleman. In my opinion, when you have something like that, then, yeah, those running backs are the bell cows of your team. And, yeah, you should pay those guys, and you should use high draft picks if you could find those guys. So I think, man, this is the draft. There's been a slight shift, like I said. So I think this could be the draft where they look at a guy and they say, you know what, let's add that guy to the offense. It'll take pressure off the quarterback. It'll make us that much better. And yeah. I hope they take one. And I'm with you on those names. I think those are the names to watch. One guy we didn't mention, although he's getting a lot of love everywhere, is Zach Evans. Very briefly, Zach Evans on the way out, because we did not mention him, and he's projected to go pretty high. Your thoughts on him on the way out?
Yeah, every time I watch him, I think he's a really good player. You know, he's a former five-star kid. He transferred. It was TCU. I think he was the first. Was he the first five-star to ever sign at TCU?
Yes.
He was you know, an absolutely electric back in high school. Was just a phenomenal player. Ended up, I think he ran for 5,000 yards in high school. Ended up going to Ole Miss. He's had some injuries. He had a hip problem. I think he ended up with 6.5 yards for carry last season. I thought he played really well. He's got a great burst. He's physical. He's got an NFL body. I think he's got great long speed in terms of, you know, if he hits a hole at, you know, 80 yards from the end zone, he'll go to the end zone. I think I think what the Dolphins won't like is that what you're looking for in a zone running back, right, is a guy that can press the line of scrimmage. Okay. So a guy that can get close to the line of scrimmage, close to the backs of the offensive lineman, and be patient and confident enough in his own ability to press the trigger when he needs to press the trigger, when he can see the hole. Because
he has to be able to read leverage on your offensive
line. Yeah, and the closer you can get to the backs of the offensive line, the more difficult it makes for second-level defenders and safeties to know where you are, but also to know where you are going to make your cut. If you're making your cut 5 yards deep in the backfield, everybody can see it. If you have the ability, change your pace direction, to press the back of the offensive line and then make your cut and then hit that hole, I think that makes you so much more effective. And I don't think that's one of Zach Evans's great skills. I think his inability to press the line of scrimmage, I think is an issue that the Dolphins might come up against. But, you know, he's got a lot of skill sets and a lot of talent that I think the Dolphins will think that they can do some stuff with. You wonder about some of the off-the-field stuff. I think there's been some questions about off-field stuff. But he's also, you know, a bit like Charbonnet. He'll put his head down and run through people, or run over people, or run around people. I like him. Every time I watch him, I think he's a good player.
All right, and that's going to have to do it on the running backs. I think we covered as much as we could for an hour. I hope you enjoy it. This is our draft series, so we'll be leading you up to the draft, covering each position group, including quarterbacks, where I'm pretty certain Chris will profess his love for Will Levis.
Thanks for listening to 3 Yards Per Carry. You can subscribe via iTunes, on Podbean, or your usual podcast provider.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.